Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Auburn Network Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Drive on a beautiful Thursday. First day, first full day of the NCAA tournament. And we're having a great time coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown Auburn. Man, a great crowd here on hand, and we'd love for you to join in as well. Bill here. Dan is, as a matter of fact, I see Dan pulling in right now. We have a fun show for you here on day number one of the full day of the NCAA tournament. Already a couple of upsets, and my bracket is, I mean, I know I'm not going to get the perfect bracket because I missed the first two ball games of the day. But, hey, it's fun watching. I mean, I know a lot of people had Mississippi State. A lot of people had BYU. Well, those two teams went down. We'll keep you updated. We'll get you updated on all the games going on here on day one. And we've got some special guests going to be joining us throughout the show. And as a matter of fact, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to check in with Hall of Famer, the legendary Coach Sonny Smith, going to be joining us here on The Drive here in the first few minutes of the show. We'd love for you to join in as well. If you can't make it out to the Plaza Bar, where they've got all kinds of specials going on right now, of course, home of the Warburger, if you can't make it out, you can give us a call on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390, or you can text us. And the Drive text box is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1840. So we'd love for you to join in here on the Thursday Drive. Love to see you out here. Again, great crowd is here on hand. And what a beautiful day. I mean, it is just a gorgeous day. Hardly a cloud in the sky. Temperature nearing 80 degrees. But we're here on the patio of the Plaza Bar and Lounge, and we've got a nice cover. Doug Amos, after I showed him, has found the shade over here in the corner. Good to see Doug over here in Auburn as well. As Dan about to sit down and join me here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. How's it going, man? Whoops. Let's see. Let's figure which one you are.
I think I'm in. Does that sound like me?
That sounds like you.
That sounds like me. Yeah, no, it's great to be here at the Plaza. We've talked about doing the show here for a while, and there was a little 2 p.m. crisis on campus, so I was a little delayed leaving. We're okay. We were okay.
But, you know, oh, something that had to be covered?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So I was a little, you know, I didn't get to leave campus. And we may have been watching a lot of basketball as well.
Yeah,
well.
Been
a little bit of that happening.
Let me tell you, I had a bit of a crisis a little while ago. I got here and realized I'd left my phone at the house.
Okay.
So I couldn't be checking. I couldn't be checking all the scores.
That would explain the two missed calls as well.
Probably.
It's
ringing at the house then. Yeah, so it's one of those. I'm here, though. We're here, and we're looking forward for you to joining us. And I told, yeah, Drew's going to be checking with you. Is that a little hot? I need to adjust the headphones then. There, that's better. If we bring that better, does Drew say that's a little better? All right, good. Full show for you today. We'll update you on scores. We've got special guests joining us. And to get things started, it is one of our all-time favorites. That is one of the most colorful color guys you're ever going to come across, and that is the Hall of Famer, Coach Sonny Smith. Sonny, how you doing today?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Man, we're doing great. What a beautiful day, and this is, of course, one of the most fun days of the year, the first full day of the tournament.
Oh, no question. That's all I've been one seat all day watching everybody.
Yeah, well,
it'll be a great tournament before it's over.
Oh, you're not kidding. Already, I mean, a couple of teams that BYU, a team that I think there are a few people had BYU winning not just one game, moving on. We've had some one-sided games here early, but it's always fun. You never know what you're going to get until you see them out there on the court.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing I've been watching closely, the one thing that I'm not seeing is people just raining three-point shots. They're not taking as many as those. People have been attacking the rim more, looking to go inside more. I don't know if that's some type of trend that's taking place for NCAA playoffs late. I don't know if that's the case, or it might be just the games that we're watching. We haven't seen enough people. We haven't seen many people just rotating it around a perimeter and throwing it up. We haven't seen that a lot.
Right, and Coach, it's been an early, you know, we've already had the upset of BYU in the tournament
right.
Today, and that was a team that the advanced analytics seemed to be really crazy about. But you know, Charles Barkley made a really good point when he was discussing it. It was during one of the studio segments that he was doing. A lot of the, you know, your biggest opponent in this thing, in tournament basketball, your biggest opponent is yourself. You have to be able to do what you do well, and BYU,
yeah,
a team that had played well all season long, unable to do what they did well in the regular season during a tournament game, and they're going home early.
It's so true about that. You look, you go to the, you win, say, the tournament, or you had a great season, full season, and you go to the tournament and you think, well, this team comes out of a conference where they're number one. We might have to change some things. It's probably best to come on with what brought you or what brung you, whatever we say in those situations. But it's better not to make changes that much. And the other thing I've seen changes, I think, for a lot of teams, I've seen more zone played. And some of it is like trying to be like matchups, is trying to hide what they're running. But I've seen more zone than I thought would be played in NCAA play.
So, Coach, along those lines, what are the things you think this Auburn team needs to do well? What are the most important things they did well during the regular season that you think they need to keep doing well during the tournament if they're going to advance?
All they got to do is two things, is shoot the ball. If they're shooting the ball, they're really tough to handle. And the other thing is stay out of foul trouble. If they can do those two things, it'll be the Auburn team that we thought that was just as good as anybody anytime they plays. It could beat anybody. And I think those two things right there, if they take care of them, they probably could. And now those things are hard to do. And I've noticed already, and I'm sure you guys have too, there's a little bit of difference in the ways that these guys are calling the games in tournament play than the say they called in the regular season. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's referees trying to advance or their own television heading for trying to win a national championship. They don't want to mess it up. I think they're calling it a little bit tighter, especially on inside play.
Well, they definitely got a tough draw when you look at when we saw the bracket come out on Sunday. I mean, Auburn was one of the first teams because they came. I didn't expect when I saw, the East start popping up that Auburn would be the four seed there. So their work's definitely cut out for them.
Yes, it definitely is. I thought they'd send somebody like their own Mountain Skins all the way to Spokane, Washington. But, no, they sent one of the top teams in the country out there. And I don't know what brought that on, if they drew it out of a hat or it was I don't think there's anything put behind it that would have them do something like that. But I guess you have to look at it and say it's the luck of the draw. It can be good luck or bad luck depending on how you play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you really wonder. It appears that the bracket was pretty much drawn up before the conference championships were finished for sure, the Sunday ones, and the only thing they did was just adjust for teams that weren't expected to be in the field.
I hadn't thought about that, but that could have something to do with the way they picked teams. I hadn't even thought about it very well. I'm going to look back and see if I look at that the same way, but that's a very good point right there.
Well, we've already seen one SEC team eliminated from the draw, Mississippi State, beaten by Michigan State earlier today. Oregon leads South Carolina at the half. Coach, you got to see a lot of this conference watching them play against Auburn and watching them play against each other throughout the season. Other than Auburn, is there a team in the conference that you feel strongly about in this tournament as someone that could survive into the late rounds?
I think Kentucky could. Who we got left now, so I don't make...
Well, there's Tennessee as a two seed.
Yeah, Tennessee
would be
seed.
Another team. I think Tennessee is another team that could advance.
Tennessee would have to potentially face... If Tennessee survived and chalk held, Tennessee would be looking at Texas, Creighton, and Purdue as their opponents in the later rounds of this thing to get to the Final Four. I think Tennessee is I think they're one of the top three or four teams in the entire draw. Alabama would be another one, Coach. That's a team in a pretty wide open region. I know there are folks skeptical of their.
I like their draw better for sure.
I like their talent for tournament play. You know, they have guys they can put five on a perimeter. They can go strong on the post with one guy, alternate guys is run into the post. They play solid defense, and I think they're a team that could advance. I really do. Strong chance.
I've seen a few people picking. You know, that's a region that I think people immediately gravitated towards a potential North Carolina Arizona game in the Elite Eight with Caleb Love, the Pac-12 Player of the Year, having formerly played for North Carolina and taking them to the Final Four a couple of years ago. I think Alabama could spoil that party a little bit, right? Alabama's got they've got an offense that could maybe make things dangerous for North Carolina in the Sweet 16. Maybe. I mean, and it doesn't feel like a clash of styles the way it might have been with other teams in the draw. Carolina and Arizona are teams that I think Alabama's happy to play the way those teams want to play basketball.
Yeah. I looked at Alabama during the season. They were unbeatable at home, it looked like. And they sometimes struggle on the road. But then you got to look at this, and everybody's playing on the road. So you got to kind of come up with, in my estimation, a different view of teams, the way you looked at them while they were in conference play. But when you're looking at overall talent, now one thing I don't know about, because I didn't study them enough to know when people ask me questions, does Tennessee have depth? I don't know if they do, but I know they have a starting five that can do well in any game.
As far as Auburn's concerned, the way the Tigers have played down the stretch, I mean, they're on a streak right now. There's some people that say, does the pressure build when you're on a streak going into the postseason, or do you prefer to be that team that's hot going in?
I think the way he prepares them, that I think he takes care of all those mental things, you know, that need to be taken care of before they go into the game. My thinking about our team is two things. If we shoot, we got a good chance of winning the game. If we stay out of foul trouble, we increase our chances of winning the game. So I think those two things right there is what I look at anytime they suit up against teams that we have not been in our league, teams that we got to play. They do those two things. And I'm going to tell you, if you look at our team and say, guards are small, but you think about this. You put a big guy on him and go around him. You know, when I look at our guards, I say they're a tough draw. Not because of size, for instance, and the difference in the way that they play. Now, I don't know what you're going to see from the standpoint of the defenses. I don't think teams can throw up a zone against Auburn and stay in it a long time. I think they'll be able to shoot their way out of those things. I don't think a press is going to hurt them. I think they could get hurt by foul trouble and rebounding. You know, getting the ball off the board. If they do the job off the board that they're capable of doing, rebounding with five, I think they're a tough out any night against anybody.
I thought the win over Florida was really impressive for a couple of reasons, and one of them was Florida did what you were just talking about, Coach. Florida sort of packed it in and dared Auburn to shoot over the top and hit open shots from the perimeter, and Auburn did exactly that.
They've early shot it on. Much better lately.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a – I understand why teams that don't have good matchups – now, here's the issue. I think the best teams in this tournament have matchups for Janai and Jalen where they won't feel the need to overwhelm – you know, to overload the paint and give Auburn quality looks. But teams that can't match up – teams that can't match up with Jalen and Janai – They're going to try to play Auburn that way, and when Auburn's shooting it, Auburn can really make teams pay for that strategy.
That is very good points that you give right there. Think about this one. Think about who's playing in the post. Let's say you take Janai out of the game. You take him out of the game. You've got a guy playing the post that won't shoot and not going to score very much. You put the two guards in that's short, and don't make a great number of shots, but pretty good. What do you think that's going to do to a team that haven't seen them before and get ready to put their game plan in? Two short guards and a post player is not going to score points. I was thinking about that. What are teams going to do against that? Are they going to spend time working to stop that, make that a big factor? Or are they going to have to go after the top nine that they have to play against in the game? And that sounds kind of crazy, but I think if you, as a former coach, you had to be looking at when that group is in the game, how much are you going to change?
We're talking to the one and only Coach Sonny Smith here on the Thursday Drive Live from the plaza, the patio here in Midtown. Coach, something else that stood out to me during the games in Nashville is, and I understand you take the good with the bad. With KD Johnson, and there are times when he can impact the game in a negative way. But when he's coming off the bench in a really physical basketball game, his pace his speed can really make an impact on a defense that's, you know, maybe they think they're getting a breather when Denver goes to the bench.
Oh, when Auburn goes with its second wave.
Yeah, when the second wave's coming and they think maybe they're getting a break, and they do not, especially in the backcourt, you do not get a break with KD Johnson in the game.
No, you do not. I used to think along those same lines. You think about that. When he comes in the game, whoever he's guarding, he's going to shut him down. Whoever gets him in a situation where they put him into a drive, he's going to make something happen driving the baseline. And I noticed one thing that he is really good at, getting back. You know, like a ball goes up and getting down and making sure somebody doesn't run on you. That's a part of the game. And a lot of guys, unless you're really looking for it, you don't find. He gets back extremely well and gets in a position to find his man and help out on others. He's a much better player than – he's one of those guys. This is Sonny talking, not all the fans. You take a look and you don't like the things that he does at times. And you don't like the way he approaches things at times. But you add up what he adds to the game, and it's really it overcomes all the other things that you look at as a negative. The guy's an outstanding defender on the ball. And he really is, and I know the other team's bound to look into that, the way that he's doing that. And he can rebound the ball. I thought he might have trouble with that. He can rebound a ball. Those two, there's some things that he has to do when they have smaller lineups in there.
Yeah, there's no question. Auburn presents quite a bit for other teams to have to prepare for. I'm obviously we're here. We can't help but be a little biased. But how deep can this Auburn team go, Sonny?
Well, they've been going 9. I think they'll have to come off of it 1, maybe. They'll go 8, 7. Normally what you want to do is be a 7-man team, 6 or 7 starters and 2 or 3 guys to take up the slack. But I think we can go 7 deep and be a winner. Foul trouble could change all of that, but I think we can go 9 deep and still win games.
Coach, I think there might have been a mistranslation there. I think Bill was talking how many rounds can Auburn advance, right? How deep into the tournament?
Sorry.
No.
That was a great answer.
No, you're absolutely because deep can mean multiple things when you're talking about a basketball team in a tournament. But I think Bill was asking how many games you feel like, looking at this bracket, how far do you think Auburn can go? How long can they survive?
I haven't looked at it enough to make a definite decision on that. What were your all's feeling? And I would react to that much more than
San Diego. I don't know much about Yale. I feel like Auburn playing their game.
I think Auburn's got more athleticism than Yale, who has a really solid team.
It would be disappointing, you know, to go home in the first round. The winner of UAB San Diego State is going to be a quality opponent in the round of 32. San Diego State went to the national championship game last year. That's one of – Coach, I'd love your thoughts. That's one of my favorite coaches in all of college basketball. The guy at San Diego State, Brian Dutcher, doing the he was an assistant for Steve Fisher forever at Michigan and San Diego State. He's been at San Diego State since 1999 as an assistant, now as the head coach. And he runs, what you're going to get when you face a team like that, and it's not going to be pretty, but they got a great shot of beating you even if you got more talent.
I've heard the same things about him all year and have watched his team one time. The reason I've heard is because I knew him well, you know, and I don't know what to say about his team from a standpoint of having not seen him. But I will tell you this, the guy can coach. He can really coach a game. And I don't think he's made a bunch of changes since he left Michigan over the way that he coaches either.
No, it feels like it's still, you know, the Steve Fisher teams that would run – you know, when they would find players that – it's, you know, a lot of the similar – not necessarily the same style on the court, but a lot of the things you said about the way Bruce Pearl built his team, that was how Steve Fisher would find guys that maybe weren't slated to be all-conference type of players, but they'd find his system, they'd play hard. You made a point earlier about the way KD runs in transition. I remember hearing a coach, maybe it was John Thompson, say, the signs that a team is playing hard for their coach is how they run in transition, how they defend, how they attack rebounding. Those are things Bruce Pearl's teams consistently do pretty well.
Yeah.
Coach.
I agree with all those things. And the only time I ever dropped off of that as in a philosophy standpoint, when I got into the SEC, I didn't trust the officials enough to play man for man hard. You know, at that time, it's not – I'm serious. At that time, you would foul out of every game against playing certain teams. But all that somebody took charge of the officials and changed everything. And now you can't say anything about how the officials call a game because you're going to get a good game night out. When I first came into the league, there's places you couldn't go on a road and win a game. And it only lasted for about 1 or 2 years. And they changed. I think maybe 1 year would say. But that all changed. And now – you don't go into any game anymore thinking officials might beat you. I don't think that is even thought about anymore. But it was a few years ago for sure.
Many years ago, not a few years. One thing that is great right now, regardless of how deep Auburn goes, it's the that feeling of, you know Auburn's going to be in the tournament. Just taking that for granted is such a great feeling. And here they are with an opportunity, I think, against anybody they play.
I believe that Bruce Pearl, over the years, has established his reputation that everybody realizes how hard they got to prepare for him and his staff. It's more of a respect type of thing than it is fear. And when you can add fear with the respect, you get a lot more, by the way. And I'm sure a lot of people are feared of the way that his teams play. One thing... I think I could ask you all this question. Have you ever seen a Bruce Pearl team not play hard? Somebody asked me that question.
You know, the only time in the recent, I'd say since the success started, the only time that effort was ever questioned that I can remember was when the team was racked with injuries during the Sharif Cooper year and they were only able to go 5 or 6 or 7 deep. And people were wondering, why aren't they playing as hard as normal Bruce Pearl's team do? And it's because all the players had to play 30-plus minutes. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how it impacts pace, one, when you have a real point guard that's healthy and available to direct your offense, but also when your team can conserve the way Bruce Pearl's teams do and no one is playing more than 23 or 25 minutes a game.
Anytime you can go 8 or 9 deep, you got a good team. Because if you wouldn't be going 8 or 9 deep if it weren't the fact that those guys can play. And uh, it uh, I don't think he has to change much, Wayne, but he does have. You have got to be thinking about what am I going to do when we get serious fouls? Am I going to play zone? Am I going to play man for man? Am I going to slow the game down, take more time off with the clock? And I think he makes adjustments along those same lines, and it works out extremely well for him. And I think that's what's made him a great coach.
Sonny, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. It is great, as we said, it's a great time to be watching some great basketball, and who knows what's going to happen. That's why we watch this. Really appreciate you spending a little time with us again today.
Oh, I love being on with you guys. You ask me questions I can't answer. I love that. Hey, Bill, you there, both of them, Dad. I can't answer any questions some days, but that's called being 89.
Hey, we love you, Coach. We love you.
Thank you for everything all season long, Coach. It has been
a pleasure. I've had fun. I really have. I enjoy this program.
Thanks so much, Sonny. Yeah, hey, I don't care. I don't care if he knows any answers at all. I mean, he's the best.
The fact that he's enjoying the show.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Everyone else on the internet can pipe down, right?
Sonny likes it.
We got Sonny Smith in our corner.
All right. We'll get to our first break. No, we're running late. Hey, Andy Burcham's going to be joining us in just a few minutes.
Wow, okay.
As we continue, we'll update you on some scores, then we'll take a quick segment, update some scores, get to Andy Burcham as we continue from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
Uncle T-Bone here. Do you wake up in the
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of The Drive from the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Bill and Dan here. Great crowd on hand for day one, the first full day of the NCAA tournament. We appreciate Sonny Smith joining us. We may be hearing from Andy Burcham at any time.
Yeah, so what we should probably do is do you want to do the Andy segment now and then catch up later, or do you want to go to break now?
Just hit the scores that we have for today,
all right,
and we'll go ahead and roll the bottom of the hour music, if you would, while Dan gives the scores.
Lay it on
and
me,
then we'll
Drew.
Get to Andy.
All right, so we've got some games that have gone final already in the NCAA tournament. That includes the upset of the day, the lone upset thus far, Duquesne, the 11 seed knocking off BYU, the 6th seed in the East Region, 71-67. Creighton advances 77-60 over Akron. Arizona eliminated in the first round last year. They advance past Long Beach State, 85-65. North Carolina beats Wagner, 90-62. Going on right now, Illinois, closing minutes of that one. They're up 21 on Morehead State. They're looking like they're going to advance. And Oregon up 14 in the second half on South Carolina. Oregon, the 11 seed. They were an 11 seed, but they were
the favorite.
They were the favorite at tip-off, won the Pac-12 tournament, looking like they may burst the bubble for the South Carolina Gamecocks in the first round.
Andy Burcham joins us when we come back here on the Thursday Drive from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
On this gorgeous Thursday afternoon, great day to be outside, and we're out on the patio at the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown Auburn. If you haven't been here, man, this is really cool. Well, we're going to see if we can grab Josh, the man, here in just a little while. But speaking of the man, we have the voice of the Auburn Tigers. That is, of course, Andy Burcham joining us here on the Thursday Drive. Andy, how's the great Northwest?
It is beautiful, beautiful here. It has been mid-60s and sunny every day we've been here, including today. I may get a little bit of colder weather for the weekend, but beautiful setting for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, starting tomorrow for the Tigers at 3:15.
Yeah, we heard there might even be a little dusting, a little snow before you leave.
I've heard the same thing, Bill. I am prepared, just in case.
Well,
I'm glad we're indoors.
Well, and everyone is surely hoping that that you're not coming back anytime soon. I know the team's plan, and again, you don't want to look too far ahead, but I don't think the team's coming back to Auburn. What would be the situation with you if that were the case, that Auburn were to advance to Boston?
I have packed for 2 weeks.
All right.
It's the most extensive packing I've ever done. Typically, and I'm not lying, I can pack for a road trip in 5 minutes. This one was a little more extensive, and Jan had to quiz me on making sure that I had everything that I needed for this trip. It took about 45 minutes to pack for this one.
Andy, wanted to say congratulations on an outstanding season of work. You're not done, obviously. There's still work to be done, but it's been a pleasure all year. And I wanted to say, in particular, I enjoyed the flourish at the end of the Florida game when you threw in a night there as Auburn sealed their first SEC championship since 2019. First tournament championship since 2019.
Well, that was certainly a nod to Rod. That became one of his trademark calls. I don't use it very often, but I felt it was appropriate at that point. So that's a nod to him, and every once in a while I'll try and throw in a nod to Jim as well, the two absolute legends that preceded me handling this job. So it was a memorable time. It was a memorable time to be a part of this program and to be a part of that tournament. Because, listen, they don't come around very often. For Auburn, it's the second time in 5 years, just the third ever for this Auburn team. And, you know, I didn't even allow myself to think about it when on Thursday, Alabama and Tennessee and Kentucky were all bounced, and Auburn was the only top four seed left. I didn't allow myself, I didn't allow myself to think about it at that point. Because you still knew you had to face South Carolina, the surprise team in the league. As it turns out, it would be Mississippi State in the second round, which had beaten Auburn already this year, and Florida then in the championship game, which had dominated Auburn this year. So, but it was thrilling to be there. Jan was able to be with me in Nashville and to experience that as well. So it's a weekend I will certainly never forget. I walked out of there, Jan and I walked back from Bridgestone Arena to the Westin there in Nashville to watch the selection show with the team, and then I did an interview with Bruce or Eagle Plus, and it was just, we just talked about that opportunity that I have, and I'll never forget it, and I hope I don't forget these next 3 weeks either.
Oh, I'm sure you're right about that. I mean, that's one of the things, Bruce, when we met with him, you know, really had to be putting that behind. No time to really be basking in the glory or the enjoyment of winning the SEC tournament, which is such a tough task because you've got to turn right around with that hand that was dealt. And Andy, it didn't seem like that's what we should have gotten. But you've got to play what you're dealt.
Well, you know, there's two parts to it, and Auburn, Alabama, and UAB are all here in Spokane. Samford.
Crazy.
Is in Salt Lake City. So the NCAA selection committee didn't do any of those teams from the state of Alabama a favor with regard to where they're playing. And fans that can make that trip to Spokane are to Salt Lake City. To me, the whether Auburn should be a four seed or not, or a higher four seed, that's the one that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. No. All the matrix say that Auburn should have been at least a three seed. I know that that's not the be-all, end-all. I understand that. But even the NCAA net, which, as I understand it, is one of the things that they use at Auburn.
Supposed to be.
The top five team, for goodness sake. But here's the thing, Bill, and you just mentioned it. At some point, it doesn't matter. At some point, this is the hand that you're dealt. And now you've got to get ready to face a Yale team that won on a buzzer beater in the Ivy League championship. And then you get either UAB or San Diego State. And UAB, we know how well they have played down the stretch of the season. And for goodness sake, San Diego State was in the Final Four last year.
Yeah.
So it is not an easy draw for Auburn, I don't think. And then if you get past these four teams, then you've got the number one, not the number one team, the defending national champions and the overall number one seed in their backyard in Boston next week. But you got to get there. And Auburn hasn't been out of the second round of the NCAA tournament since that run that Dan talked about in 2019.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why Bruce is approaching this as, you know, it's a four-team tournament. Hopefully, you win it. You move on to another four-team tournament. I mean, Auburn is obviously faced with the most ridiculous travel possibilities. But, boy, you hope that you end up putting up, I guess, around 7,000 miles between Auburn, Atlanta to Spokane to Boston to Phoenix. I mean, you cover pretty much all four corners of the country is the possibility.
Right.
What a way to see the country.
Exactly. On somebody else's dime. That's the way to do it.
That's the best
way. And to get to call these games as well. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about Yale. I mean, their numbers, very impressive. I mean,
yes.
you think of a team, well, you figure an Ivy League team is going to be a disciplined team that shoots the ball well. But you look, and these guys have size on the perimeter. They have size inside. They don't turn the ball over very much.
No, they turn the ball over less than Auburn. They turn the ball over less than 10 a game. And I'm not sure I've seen that this late in the season out of an opponent for the Auburn Tigers. And Auburn's one of the better teams about taking care of the basketball as well. And they're 6'4", 6'6". No, they're 6'4", 6'4", 6'6". On the front, in the front line. And their point guard, Bez Mbang, is the two-time Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year, who shoots it well and is very good at distributing the basketball. And then you look at their true shooting guards, and both of these guys have over 70 threes this season. And then you look at their center, and his numbers are very similar, although I think their styles are different. His numbers are very similar to Jani Broom as far as points, rebounds, blocked shots. He may be a better facilitator with the ball. He may be a better passer than Jani, and is probably a stretch
five. And that's saying something.
Yeah, it is. But he's probably a stretch five. I'm not sure he's that much of a back-to-the-basket type offensive player that Jani has turned into the best I've seen this season for Auburn. And the moves that he has developed in his 2 years at Auburn, to me, are remarkable. Because when the ball goes low to Jani, you just figure Auburn's going to get 2 points out of it, maybe three if he gets fouled.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, the matchup on the inside is the one I look forward to the most. But I know that this Yale team can shoot it well, and they will not turn the ball over. And they will play good defense. They're not a high-powered offense. I don't think they're even averaging 74 points ball game this season. But they play well defensively. They are going to be disciplined. Most teams from the Ivy League are. And they can shoot it. This is a very formidable opponent for Auburn in the first round of the NCAA.
Something that concerns me, maybe the only serious concern I have about this Auburn team, other than the quality of the opponents they'll face along the way, would be that Mississippi State game that Auburn played in the SEC tournament, Andy, was the only close win Auburn had all year. I don't know, these are veteran players, so they've been in close game situations in their careers, but Auburn really hasn't had a lot of every possession matters, you got to hit your free throws. Last minute execution situations. That I would contrast that with Yale. Felt like every single Yale game this year in conference came down to 5 points or less, and late game execution being vitally important.
Brown, who they played against in the Ivy League championship. They won by 10 at Brown. They lost at home in overtime, and they beat Brown on a buzzer beater. So, yeah, they played some close games, and Auburn now has played at least one against Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. I feel a little bit better about that, the fact that they've done that just 2 games ago. They know what that routine is like. And it's a routine that is likely going to happen game in and game out in the NCAA tournament, including tomorrow. I don't think Auburn goes into that game going, well, there's another double-digit win for us. I don't get the impression that that is the case at all. Yale has Auburn's attention going into tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. Watching this team practice yesterday at Spokane Falls Community College, watching the couple of the scouts that I've been able to sit in on with this team's locked in. It's ready. And I guarantee you this coaching staff is locked in on Yale at this point.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. The way this team has played down the stretch, the way they have focused on every game, I expect that to be the case tomorrow. That doesn't guarantee anything, but I think they are really I think they're going to be as ready as they can be. Really looking forward to it, Andy. And we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us.
We'll be on the air at 2:45. Auburn's game is supposed to start around 3:15 since it's the second game
right.
of the session. We're going on the air at 2:45 tomorrow afternoon. Randall Dickey, myself, Jacob Hellman on the call. And really looking forward. I already have the equipment set up, Bill. It's working, tested. I'm ready to go. Auburn had its open practice today. Had the band and the cheerleaders there playing War Eagle and cheering. And now the real practice is going on at the community college again. Which, by the way, you'll get a kick out of this, guys. The junior college where Auburn is practicing these days for this tournament. It's Spokane Falls Junior College. They're known as the Bigfoot.
Yes.
I like it.
Love it.
That's a team named after Dan.
That's right. That's where they're practicing probably
after my own heart.
There we go.
Oh. Hey, have you seen many Auburn folks up there? That's one of the things, you know, we wondered about.
Some, but not a ton. I mean, listen, and I think, you know, going in, you know, that that Auburn crowd on Sunday was unbelievable. It's the best away crowd I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that includes the Vandy football game this year. Because, guys, that was 85 to 90% Auburn in Bridgestone Arena on Sunday. That was Neville North on Sunday. I get chills thinking about the atmosphere in that gym on Sunday. And the Auburn family responded and were treated to a Southeastern Conference Tournament Championship.
I don't know what it would entail, Andy. Maybe you'd need to find a big-time ACC opponent willing to be the matchup. Could Auburn, like, should Auburn? I've heard so much about that atmosphere, especially Sunday. Should Auburn consider a regular season date in Bridgestone if they could try to swing it somehow? I mean, could you? I mean, I wonder if you'd be able to get. I mean, it's a big building, but there's a lot of Auburn fans.
Yeah, play a non-conference game there, an interconference, intra-conference.
Yeah. Find a big Big Ten or an ACC team that wants to dance. I mean.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't even know if they're allowed to play in that arena except for the SEC tournament. I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. But it's worth
just hearing the way that place was rumbling.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
I do wonder
I almost felt bad for Florida because it was a home game for Auburn International Tennis. That's what it was.
Well, it definitely a moment, a ride to enjoy. Hopefully the ride's long from being over, Andy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm counting on right now.
Hey, we really appreciate you joining us. You're there. Brad's here with baseball tonight.
Right.
We've got the women at 5:45 with the pregame 6 o'clock tip against Arizona. So, I mean, it is a busy, busy time.
We are spread out across the country, aren't we?
That's great. That's great to be participating.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
It sure is.
All right, Andy. Thanks again. Have a great call. We look forward to it.
My pleasure, guys. Love you.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us here on the Thursday Drive from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
And you can catch the Auburn Sports Radio Network across the Auburn Network family of
that
stations
is right.
here. We're going to have tomorrow's game on Wings 94.3. Tonight's women's game should be on 100W Lee, I believe. You've got tonight's baseball game on Wings 94.3 with the action
right against Arkansas.
So you can catch a lot of this on your different Auburn Network radio stations this weekend.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. I'd love for you to stop by and join us. We're at the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown Auburn with the Thursday edition of The Drive.
I'm Jess.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Final couple of minutes here of hour number one of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan, we're coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown. Yeah, our thanks to Andy Burcham, Sonny Smith joining us here in hour number one. We're going to effort Dylan Cardwell in hour number two. Josh has brought out the Warburger, the original Warburger. It's gone.
It is gone. And we found a taker for yeah, half it, of it.
It's gone
over there. But
and
the,
then the soul rolls.
I'll offer a Warburger review very very brief. Now, Josh, we're about to go to break, so we're going to have you back on for the full segment.
We're wrapping up the first hour.
But the Warburger, just got to try it during the commercial break, and this thing is no joke at all. It's a delicious cheeseburger, a delicious hamburger. You can add cheese to it if you want. There's a pickles with a little bit of a kick to it. Spicy relish action kind of, and it is just that is a really, really good cheeseburger.
All right, we need to step aside for our top of the hour break. Back with hour number two. Come on in and join us here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge and the Thursday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown here in Auburn. If you haven't been out here, wow, you have missed it. And we have the man. We've got Josh Nagel here with us. Josh, hey, first of all, thanks for having us out. This is great.
Very, very impressive place that you've got here.
Thank you very much, and so happy to have you guys out here today as well. Thank you for having me on.
Let me see if we're getting a – see if we can get you here on the
let's see if the button is –
How about now? Try
now?
Yeah. How about now?
Test one,
there
two.
We go. There
Got
we
me?
Go. Somebody didn't have the mic turned on. No wonder.
There we go.
No wonder things weren't working a little while ago when the guys had a guest.
Flipping the switch. All right.
Somebody heard I was coming there, on.
Now I think we've got you.
No.
We've got you now. I think you sound good.
All right, can you hear everything fine now?
I can.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you guys for having me on. Thank you all so much for being here today. Couldn't ask for better weather than what we got, and just happy to.
Congratulations on a very cool spot, and as we were pointing out on the menu, it's sort of a nod to Auburn history as well. You know the
old Plaza Motel,
the old
right.
motel.
Yeah.
You know it's a I don't know it's a place that really seems to fit in with how Auburn is developing, and it's a I don't know it's a really cool spot you got here.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, and we took a lot of the old landmarks that were on this piece of property as well. You'll see them kind of around the establishment. And, it's all about community for us and just being a part of Auburn, and that's all we try to do here.
You know, some folks that might be heading up and down Opelika Road might not realize that you're back in here. You see, you know, you figure, well, those are residences for the most part. But, I mean, what a cool venue you have here with the combination of the bar, lounge, patio.
That's right. And Midtown itself has about 20-ish or so locally owned and operated businesses. Yes, we do have a lot of residents around us. They love coming in and joining us in our spot over here at the Plaza. But, we are open to the whole community, man. Y'all come check us out, and we're happy to be here.
And on a really special day in the world of sports, too. This is the first Thursday of the NCAA tournament, wall-to-wall basketball games. I imagine you guys will be inviting folks if they're looking to go somewhere to watch. You know, Auburn's out in Spokane. Some folks are making that trip. Other folks probably going to stay closer to home to watch tomorrow's game, and I imagine that's something that you guys are welcoming here at the Plaza.
Yeah, absolutely. We have plenty of TVs. It's one of the best time of the years in sports, and we will definitely have the game on loud and proud, the sound on, and we're ready to root on our Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, all right. Well, you have already brought out, and you can see you've got one empty plate, and we're working on the soul rolls, but a couple of, very, very special items that you're not going to find. It's not just your normal fare, if you will.
That's right. You know, it's it's simple but delicious is what we like to call it. The soul roll, think of a southern egg roll. It's collard greens, it's pulled pork, cream cheese wrapped up in an egg roll. Our Warburger is a longtime secret recipe, but it also simple but delicious. You know, pickles, onions, mustard, what we call war sauce, which is something like a barbecue sauce, I guess. you know, delicious, one of our best sellers, and actually won Burger Wars recently in the last couple of
just
years.
Saw an Auburn Network employee get to sample the other half of that Warburger you brought us.
That was for you.
Well, no, we each had some of ours with the soul roll, but the just watching and react sort of impromptu.
We like to share.
Impromptu. This is delicious. You know, this thing
Thank
is
you.
It's with the yeah. And we were talking about the Wickles in there really adds a serious kick.
You
to
said
it as well.
that little hint of heat that was on there.
A little kick.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's great. And again, we really appreciate you having us out here, and just want to let everybody know that, yes, come on out. What are the normal hours? What are your regular hours?
So Monday through Thursday we open at 4, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday we open at 11. We've got brunch Saturday and Sunday. Starting tomorrow, we are starting Fried Chicken Fridays.
Okay.
Some of those guys talked about earlier on in the day on the radio, and we are excited to start that. It's a similar recipe to what we do for our chicken sandwich, 2 chicken thighs, fries, coleslaw. We're starting kicking that off tomorrow, so we're excited about
it. That's great. So, yeah.
At Auburn Plaza on socials and auburnplaza.com, I believe how you can find it. I know
That's
you guys
correct.
Are active on Instagram. Food looks delicious. You know what you post on Instagram and happy hour. You guys got the
4 to 6 every day.
Oh yeah, we know we love those hours. I mean, the sad thing is we're usually tied up. We're not always fortunate enough to
Understand.
Be at a place like this during happy
Although
hour.
We do take the show on location from
Oh,
time
absolutely.
To time. So
we're thrilled to do it.
This has gone over so well, then we can have a happy hour with you guys next time.
We would happily participate in a 4 to 6
Love it.
Thing here. But, no, yeah, congratulations again on a great place. And I encourage everybody to come check out the Plaza here in Midtown on Opelika Road.
Yeah, and it's great seeing all the folks out here. A lot of folks I haven't seen in a while, and it's great seeing them here. Great place to be, Josh.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me, and War Eagle, hey.
Absolutely. Josh Nagel joining us. He's the main guys here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We're just underway in hour number 2 of the drive, and the second hour, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
Yeah, and you can if you missed any of hour number 1 with Sonny Smith and Andy Burcham.
Oh yeah, what a fun hour that was.
Yeah, flew by, and some great stuff, not just about and not to pat myself on the back here, but I thought Andy's answer when we talked about the nod to Rod Bramblett that he had at the end. Just a really cool thing from Andy there, explaining, you know, he'll occasionally sprinkle in a reference to Jim Fife or Rod Bramblett and the victory over Florida on Sunday, a perfect moment to evoke Rod Bramblett, someone who was the voice the last time Auburn won the SEC tournament, and they beat Florida in that tournament as well. So if you missed any of Andy Burcham, check out the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. And that's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And they also sponsor the text box.
That's right, 334-564-1840. The Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
You can also call us we'd love for you to join us out here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. If you can't make it out, give us a call, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You lose anyone that you had going deep in the tournament
Not
yet,
deep.
Bill? Okay.
No,
okay.
I mean, now I had
– That's the key.
I had Mississippi State and BYU winning, but I didn't have them winning after today.
I had BYU winning a couple of games. I believed in the style of play, and they just laid an egg in round one. I didn't have them going too far, but I did have them winning a couple of games in this tournament.
Doesn't look like a good start for the Southeastern Conference as Mississippi State goes down. They go down hard to Michigan State, and South Carolina is trailing by double digits late in the ball game against Oregon.
Yeah, looking like an upset that a lot of people predicted to the degree that Oregon.
Yeah, can you call it an upset?
Well,
really?
I mean, Oregon was favored.
A lower seed.
There are two, and again, another indictment of the job the committee did in this situation. When you have 11 seeds that are favored at tip-off over 6 seeds, and there's not just one. Oregon is favored right now, and I believe New Mexico is currently favored over Clemson as well. I mean, that seems like an indictment of those. I mean, are those teams deserving of a six seed? If they're an underdog,
not if you're an underdog to an 11, it shouldn't be.
And yeah, I mean, in South Carolina was sort of it. I mean, there was a difference between what you were getting on the court and what the computer numbers and what maybe even the eyeball test told you that they really were. But it looks like their season is on the verge of ending at the hands of the Pac-12 champion Oregon Ducks, the last Pac-12 champion, the tournament champion, the Oregon Ducks, and then
you got two more SEC teams that will play tonight. Later on, Kentucky and Tennessee. And I think now I'd be much more surprised. I'm not surprised at the first two losing. I believe that my only two misses thus far have been BYU and Mississippi State, but I didn't have them going any deeper. I'd be a little more surprised if Kentucky or Tennessee lost this evening. Although St. Peter's, as they pulled off a huge opening day upset before, they were the first, weren't they?
Somebody asked me about the. I believe that is correct. The first was UMBC beating Virginia a couple years ago.
Right.
St. Peter's was the. Weren't they the two that beat Kentucky, or they were the 15 that beat Kentucky?
Yeah.
And then got one, maybe even a couple games.
So now they're the 15 that gets Tennessee this year.
Fairleigh Dickinson last year, the upset over Purdue in the 16-1. And, I think it's a – you know, speaking of that Tennessee team, I mean, if I – you're talking with Jake Crane on Tuesday's show about eliminating – you know, if you eliminate your favorite team and the favorite and pick somebody else to win it all. So in this case, your national champion isn't going to be UConn because about 30% of ESPN Tournament Challenge people have picked UConn to win it all.
Right.
And it's not going to be Auburn. Who do you think is the national champion? And I was thinking about it, and, I mean, Tennessee's one of the teams.
Tennessee's not an unlikely pick.
Tennessee's a decent pick.
Yeah.
If you're taking those. I mean, I think people would say Houston would be among the top choices in that,
You'd still get some Carolinas.
I think you get some Carolinas.
Even though they're the fourth one seed.
I think there are Purdue believers. There are also skeptics.
I feel like there are more people that would think Carolina than Purdue.
Yeah. Well, I think that if chalk holds and we get Tennessee, Purdue in the Elite Eight, I think a lot of people will expect Tennessee to win that game.
I think you're right.
And so it's not that Tennessee should be a one and Purdue should be a two, because the body of work is the body of work. But even Scott Bagwell was sort of intrigued by, if you're not picking UConn and you're not picking your favorite team, who else is there? I mean, I got Tennessee near the top of my list maybe it's because now I'm not sure their posts can take over games, which you may need to have happen in a game or two. You can't get killed up front, but we talk about guard play.
Yeah, they've got excellent guards, very experienced.
I mean, you talk about the importance of guard play in the tournament. That is a team that wouldn't trade their guards with anyone else in the field.
Right. Going on right now, Mitch in South Carolina down double digits. We have a little over 2 minutes to go.
Is Bama another team, if you're using the guard play philosophy, and like Sonny Smith said,
they can stop somebody, I'm still not sold on their defense. And they haven't – I know the reasoning has been, hey, they've been trying to work on their defense so much that their offense has taken a hit. But their offense has struggled recently. I mean, they haven't shot it the way – that they had for most of the season. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they could – they're just as likely to get hot and be able to turn around and do that. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. All right, Oregon leading South Carolina 79-68. That's another 11 seed there. That's the 11 seed there that was the favorite, as you said. Nevada is up on Dayton.
Creighton
46-35.
The winner of Oregon South Carolina, looking like it's going to be Oregon, will play Creighton in the next round.
Creighton is a team that a lot of people like have a possibility of going really deep.
If the chalk holds, and this is true in a lot of tournaments, I think it's especially true this year, the quality of the Sweet 16 matchups we could get in some of these games, if chalk holds.
Oh yeah.
The thought of Alabama North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Auburn-UConn,
Houston-Duke, Tennessee-Creighton would absolutely be in that category as well. I mean, you could get some really, really high-level basketball games, and I would think that the Creighton Blue Jays would love their chances in a matchup with Tennessee.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. Love for you to join us. We're coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown.
No reason except that we forgot Kentucky Marquette absolutely qualifies as one of those as well.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge with the Thursday Drive.
Bending, stretching, walking.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
The stars are out.
You're not kidding. I'm telling you. I mean, there's some folks haven't seen in quite a while, but yes.
Auburn Network personalities.
And just Auburn personalities.
Tilly the dog we just got to meet. I mean, there's
Tilly Tudhope.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, lots of, you know, we're hearing a little bit more from our buddy Notorious.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have, of course, I mean, you know, now that Uncle T-Bone has a regular gig here with the family, I mean – he's gone. Had some memories today, talking with Jonathan and a couple of other guys. I mean, from his days of Todd from Tallahassee. That's where Andy would remember. Would remember Todd from Tallahassee.
Oh wow!
Before he was T-Bone and the Realist, and now of course Uncle T-Bone. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we are set, and what a great place, what a great setup this is. Hey, there's so much room out here on the patio, the open air. What a beautiful day to be sitting outside today.
Oh, I mean, if you're looking for somewhere to have an indoor or outdoor snack or a beverage or a really, 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 really good burger, the Plaza is great, conveniently located here on Opelika Road in Midtown. Auburn Plaza on Instagram, auburnplaza.com, the website. And they've also got some pretty cool looking merch.
Oh, cool merch! Yeah,
some vintage merch. As we said, a lot of nods to Auburn history, both inside and around the facility.
I will say the sketch of the Plaza Motel looks probably better than I even remember it. Oh, drove by that I don't know how many times. But yeah, we're here and we're keeping up with the first full round of the NCAA tournament. Just a couple of games going right now as session one about to wrap up at every place. Then we take that break and you'll start again at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, you're not really counting 8-9s as upsets. Those are coin flip games by nature.
Right.
If you want to get specific about it, yes, Mississippi State losing as an 8 seed. To Michigan State, they were out of whack that whole game.
Yeah, they really were.
Tolu Smith got in foul trouble early, and when they put Tolu Smith on the bench, Michigan State went after the reserve posts. They couldn't stay with them. And as we were just talking about South Carolina going home early as Oregon leads in the
that should be over.
Now that game's over. 87-73 final score.
Right.
Oregon leads, wins by 14. And they will play Creighton on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, what a great year it was for South Carolina, but nobody really believed all year. I mean, they still win 26 ball games this year, but out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So the SEC 0-2. But as I said, you've got Kentucky and Tennessee yet to play today. Four SEC teams playing today. Got four playing tomorrow.
Yeah, and some intriguing matchups on the let me pull up the – get the exact slate for later today so I don't tell you that there's a game that's tomorrow and tell you to watch out for it.
Well, here, I can run through them here in order. The next game starting at 5:50 will be Colorado State and Texas. Then at 6:10, that is Kentucky playing Oakland. That is not Oakland, California.
A lot of people are on Will Wade and McNeese as a 12 seed, 30-3 on the season. They're just a 6.5.
Will they knock off the Zags?
They're just a 6.5 point underdog against the Bulldogs of Gonzaga. Another couple of, you know, if you're looking at by the seeding, Well, I mean, Tennessee's a 22-point favorite.
Yeah, I was just going by time. Here when the game started, you mentioned that McNeese-Gonzaga game. That's a 6:25 start. It's 6:35, the South Dakota State, Iowa State. Iowa State, the two seed there in the East region where Auburn is.
Bill, what's the mascot for South Dakota State?
It's a good one.
It's a good one. You know, they are – I kind of want to let you click it and find out if you want to.
I'm afraid with my connection I don't want to click it.
They are the Jackrabbits of
the
South –
The Jackrabbits.
The Jackrabbits of South Dakota State.
The
good women's go won the NIT, won the WNIT.
Okay.
Good women's program.
So those are all the ball games that will start in the next hour or so. Then the later games get started with the Tennessee-St. Peter's matchup that we mentioned a while ago.
Yeah, NC State becoming a trendy team over these last couple
weeks. Because of the way they come through the ACC tournament.
You win the ACC. I mean, that coach was on the hot seat. Two weeks ago, there were people ready to make a change.
But it's funny how I haven't heard people wanting to jump on the Auburn bandwagon because of the way they came through the SEC tournament.
I'm sorry, the
ACC was much better than the SEC. Oh wait, wait.
Well,
no,
Bill, I think if NC State had to go through UConn in the first two rounds,
there wouldn't be as much enthusiasm
for NC State in this tournament either.
Yeah, but they'd still think, you know, I mean, there are quite a few folks that are thinking they'll at least get to the Sweet 16.
I've seen people with NC State in
the Final Four.
That's what NC State, Texas Tech is going to be. That's one of them tonight. Texas Tech just a slight favorite.
That's another 11.
Buckyball.
And 11 has become the 12.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the 12 was always the seed that you went, you got to have at least one 12. You know it's going to happen. Didn't happen at all last year.
We had an 11.
Now the 11s are the hot pick.
We had an 11 seed versus a 6 seed today in a game that was very close and competitive, Duquesne winning that one. And then we had a game where Oregon was up 10-plus seemingly the whole time over South Carolina. So you're right, Oregon, two 6 seeds have already gone home.
Yeah. Later on tonight, the other Alabama rep who is not in Spokane, Samford, taking on the 4 seed Kansas. And it's not just a few people from the state of Alabama that thinks Samford has a shot. Buckyball's got a chance against Kansas.
Can the Bulldogs go buck wild against Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks? It's a dangerous game for Kansas, you know, especially there's a question about Dickinson. I think he's going to play even though he missed the tournament games last week. But we know that there's a huge piece missing for this Kansas Jayhawks team as well. So I think it's a it is a dangerous region. Usually you would think that Kansas, I mean, they're still the best team of the four in that pod. But they're capable of, you know, a team hitting shots can run Kansas off the floor. Buckyball, you know, they've had some really impressive moments this year. I would watch out for Samford.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, that's an 8:55 start tonight. Then the final game scheduled to start at 9:05. Is Drake and Washington State. I didn't really have a whole lot of opinions on that matchup.
Yeah, I can't tell you that I've studied that one as diligently. It's cool to see Washington State back in the tournament. That's a tough place to win in any sport with who you had in your competition league wise. Now you're just in the conference with Oregon State. Washington State in the tournament, I believe this is their first tournament since Tony Bennett left for the Virginia job years ago. But this is a –
Is that right? Wow, that's a while.
I think it's been a while since Washington State has been in there. But they're a plucky, tough team. Some people think kind of underseeded on the 7 line. They're in the top 25 in the human polls.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. Bill and Dan coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here, Midtown. Love for you to stop by and check it out. If you haven't been here, if you have, well, I mean, you should be able to come back now. But, I mean, everybody hopefully off work. Great place. They've got all – I can see a couple of the screens from in here. As a matter of fact, sitting out here, we've got one screen here outside that we can see on the patio. So come on by and join us if you can. If you can't make it out, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll get to the bottom of the hour break, a half an hour to go here on the Thursday Drive.
382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. My goodness, she's working. She's got a pretty good arm. Arm for a
possible Friday nighter.
20-month-old. So, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we'll talk a little baseball here in just a little while. But right now, let's get to the phones. And on the drive hotline, Napoleon. Hey, Napoleon, how you doing?
It's been a minute. How you guys doing?
Yeah, it has.
Doing all right, Napoleon. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. I did want to mention, I keep hearing people compare. They keep saying, you know, we had to go through Kentucky and all those, and Kansas and North Carolina, which,
right.
Believe me, I mean, that's blue blood row. That's rough. None of them were as good as this UConn team. None of them.
Now, this UConn team, it profiles like the Florida team that brought back so many of its starters from a championship team.
Yeah.
20 years ago, like the Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Brewer, like that Florida Gators team is an apt comparison to this UConn team because of what they did last year in the tournament and what they return from that group.
Yes, UConn is dominating, and, you know, who knows, we may not make it to them, but this idea of, it's not that bad, or, no, we should be furious. I'm staying on people. I think it was intentional, but some Auburn fans like me have a bit of a tinfoil hat. I get it, but if anybody's got a reason to have a tinfoil hat, it's Auburn fans. Over the years, we've been given a reason to have it. I know that from down last year, and Bruce Pearl did ask, "Are we being penalized?" Because Spokane is awful. That is garbage. Everybody being out there is crap. And I don't want to hear about the whole BYU thing and somehow they kept us from being in Alabama's bracket with North Carolina. We are seeded higher than Alabama, correct?
Supposedly, yes. Yeah, Auburn's supposed to be the 15th seed.
Although
people
will point out,
Napoleon. North Carolina's bracket.
Well, people will point out, just – It's not every year when they release the 1 through 68. It's not every year that the 1 seed and the 16 seed are in the same region. Usually, what they're doing is
but the 16 is not usually in the region with the 4th number 1 seed.
Right, right.
That's what's unusual.
You know, they try to sort of balance it out across the top 4 or 5 seeds,
and they didn't come close.
They didn't do a good job
they
this year of it. And I think especially maybe they felt, you know, partially entitled to keep Houston in the South and UConn in the East and Purdue in the Midwest, and you just sort of had a makeshift West regional because of that.
But I
understand. I mean, I was very surprised. I said this on Monday. I was very surprised to see Auburn in the same region as UConn or Houston. I thought they had earned their way out.
I'll say I get you, but I feel like technically speaking, Alabama should be in our position, and we should be in theirs.
It would be fairer. Yeah. Yes,
it's a surprise. I mean, maybe the committee
it's
really
a
wanted
Greg
to see.
Greg Burns special is what it is.
Well, maybe the committee really wanted to see an Auburn UConn game and put us in a position where they.
It's hey Napoleon. It is hard. It is hard to ignore the fact that Greg Byrne and Martin Newton were on the committee of 12.
And, you know, Bruce Pearl called him out by name.
I don't know that I heard that. I know
They asked him They asked him a question, and then it was Sankey and Garth that he did.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he said.
And he did call those guys out.
He would hope that Auburn would impress the commissioner and his top assistant, Garth, as to being a contender on a regular basis.
I thought that was extremely telling.
Yeah.
And
he did a great job of just sort of getting that in the at the end of a comment to another question. Yes.
And anyway, I won't take up any more of your time. Dan, great to talk to you again, man. You take care, brother.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Napoleon. I'll try to be around. Basketball season's tough for me, but I'll creep around these next couple of days and weeks. Good hearing from you. Appreciate it. Good stuff, Napoleon.
Hey, Dan, while we continue talking about basketball, of course, the Auburn women will be getting underway in about 25 minutes. As of course they're playing Arizona in one of the first four games up in the Northeast.
And we're about 20 minutes away from Auburn, Virginia on ESPN2. That game will also be on 100.3.
And in Arizona?
What did I say?
Virginia.
Auburn and Arizona.
Okay, I thought
playing
I,
in the,
I thought
no,
I just
right.
had a, I thought
no,
I
No, you're right. I was just reading about the Virginia Tech player who was out for the season. And they play Marshall in the first round, the Sun Belt champion, on the women's bracket.
Oh, okay.
And that's talking about the women's.
Oh, no, I was going to say also, will you have an idea of when you'll broadcast your next game after tonight?
The WNIT game is tonight featuring the teams.
Right, I knew the teams that Troy will play tonight.
The team in Troy's bracket, FIU and Stetson play in about 20 minutes as well. I don't know when an announcement is coming from Troy. About when the game will be or where it's going to be. You said you heard Brent on Brent Jones, Troy AD.
Yes.
On Doug's show earlier this week, suggesting maybe early next week the game could be in Troy. You know, we'll see. We'll see what they.
They put in a bid for it, and they would like for it to be Monday.
Yeah, I think Monday or Tuesday night could be in the cards for the. For the Trojans.
So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, 334-321-1390. Let's see. We're very pleased to be joined. I believe they were on the team bus a little while ago. So we've had Andy Burcham in hour number one, Sonny Smith in hour number one. But right now, we're pleased to be joined by our Tiger Takes Thursday guest, and that is Dylan Cardwell, who is up in the great Northwest in Spokane. Dylan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Doing well.
Oh, and Dylan, it's congratulations on an SEC tournament championship. You're, I imagine we've heard all year about how close this team is, and I imagine that's something what you guys got to experience on Sunday was something you've been working for and dreaming about. For much of the last year.
Yeah, it was exciting just to see all of our hard work really pay off. And this team has been through so much up and down. And for us just to kind of just stay together, stay the course, to not only that, but grow closer to it all, it just makes it all kind of make sense. It's pretty sweet.
And to do it in front of what may be the largest crowd of Auburn fans since Auburn moved out of Beard Eaves Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah, it was just great to see those fans traveling. I really appreciated it. That game was pretty much louder than any game I've ever heard, since coming here. So it was just amazing to be a part of and amazing to make history with, my friends and family in the stands room behind me.
Oh, no question about that. Now, you guys had to like, put that behind you quickly, though, because later on Sunday, you find out the matchups, and you find out you guys have to head, all the way across the country, and took off. Was it Tuesday? Yeah, I guess it was Tuesday afternoon. You guys flew out to Spokane.
Yeah, the flight was pretty fun. Getting to mess around on the plane. It took about 4.5 hours to get over here, and when we landed, we got to tour around a little bit. Some players went on bike rides. Other players just went walking, and some players went shopping. So it has been fun kind of to get out of Auburn and just explore, because obviously it's like it's paid for, so it's pretty much fun. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, no kid when it's always when it's on somebody else's dime to be able to explore. We were talking with Andy a while ago saying, you guys win, you're gonna be able to hit all four corners of the United States.
Yeah, literally. So we're playing four corners, that'd be kind of crazy to do, I don't think anybody else has ever done that. So I'm down to make history. I'm down to travel the world.
I hear you.
If a team's going to make history, it might be this one. Dylan, I was watching tournament coverage earlier today, and Charles Barkley made a really interesting point talking about BYU being eliminated early and how, sometimes for tournament teams, the biggest challenge isn't the team you're playing, it's yourself. You have to be able to keep doing the things that your team did well all season. Remember the things that brought you to the NCAA tournament. in the first place? What do you feel like are the things this Auburn team needs to continue to do well to have success in tournament basketball?
Defense, physicality, finishing possessions. That's really it, Auburn basketball. We can't control whether we hit shots or not. We can't control much else. But we can control our defense, our effort, our energy, and our attitude, and that's Auburn basketball for you. So as long as we just remember who we are at all times and not get discouraged when other teams may go on runs or not, if we just remember who we are and continue to play the basketball that got us here, I believe we'll be in good shape.
And that's one of the things we were talking with Sonny Smith about a while ago, is you guys have done an excellent job of being able to, okay, regardless of what happened in the game before, whether it was a 20-point win or on rare occasions, an L, you've been able to really focus, come back out, and approach that next ball game and take care of business. And that's something you really have to be able to do when you get here in the postseason.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a big tribute to, our depth, our coaching staff. And I think just going into the SEC tournament and having those back-to-back-to-back games, it kind of forced us to move on pretty quick. So I enjoyed it because it was like a test run for how March Madness is. You win a game Friday, you got to get ready for Sunday. You really can't celebrate. And the stakes are pretty high, but, so the SEC tournament stakes.
Dylan, the Auburn led Division I basketball this year in wins by 10 or more points. I believe you guys were in the top 5 in wins by 20 or more points. On the flip side, you didn't have too many games this year that were Auburn victories that came down to the last possession or the last minute with every, with every second mattering an elevated amount. The win over Mississippi State in Nashville was the first time you guys had to gut through it in the last final minutes. Was that valuable experience to win a game?
Yeah.
In the way you guys, and not to mention how physical. I mean, that game was a fist fight nonstop.
Yeah.
But to win that game the way you guys did in the closing possessions, that valuable experience going into the NCAA tournament?
It is valuable experience because that's how the NCAA tournament is going to be. It's not going to be 30-point blowouts or 40-point blowouts. It's going to be these close, fist fight of games. And it's kind of good to get that experience right before March Madness.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the matchup tomorrow afternoon. Now, first of all, have you guys gotten acclimated to the time being out there? I know Bruce was not thrilled about having to leave Tuesday for a Friday game, but that gives you time to sort of get used to it. You should be pretty much on Pacific Coast time now.
We are. So I'm pretty used to it right now. It's pretty easy to get used to for a lot of these guys who stay up late. So it's not a big of a deal for us.
Well, the good thing is, it's not a late game anyway. It's just sort of like, it's an afternoon game that you've got tomorrow against a Yale team that, has some really impressive numbers. I look at their guards, and they go 6'4", 6'4", 6'6". They've got a 7-footer, and they shoot the ball really well. They have not turned it over very much this year.
Yeah, they haven't. So they're a very disciplined team. They're not going to beat themselves. So we got to make sure we're disciplined as well and make sure that we come out there with the same excitement that we did in our SEC tournament run.
Talking with Dylan Cardwell, Auburn center here on Tiger Takes, it's a special time of year in college basketball. A lot of SEC representation in the NCAA tournament, and Dylan, you guys, it's a tough region, but like you were saying, if you guys keep doing what you're doing, I think everybody around here likes Auburn's chances.
Yeah, me as well. Love them.
Yeah, well, and I love the way Bruce talked about this with the media. I'm sure this is what he, keeps talking about with you guys. It's a four-team deal. It's a four-team tournament. Just go in there. You've got Yale here, and then either San Diego State or UAB. But you worry about this one. If you get through this four-team tournament, then you've got another four-team tournament, and then one more. And so that's what you've got here for the rest of the year. That's got to be the way to approach it.
Yeah, we kind of went through a four-team tournament while we were in New York, so that gave us a pretty big glimpse of how the tournament's going to be. And, we've won two tournaments this year, probably most in the country. So I think we're used to tournaments by now.
Yeah, and Coach Pearl, I think it was on Sunday, where he was talking about how as important as the SEC tournament championship is and how – like, that will be, the fact that you guys will hang a banner, You will forever have a championship to point to for this year, no matter what else happens. You know, he said there's no time to celebrate because you turn around and Yale prep. I mean, you're traveling on Tuesday. Yale prep begins shortly thereafter for an NCAA tournament game. And like he said before the South Carolina game, you know, you guys got 9 to win. Like you're 3.
It's down to 6.
Yeah, you knocked that number down to 6, but the job's not done yet.
Nope, not done at all. But like you said, there's no time really to celebrate. We celebrated that night and had to move on immediately.
Dylan, we really appreciate you being able to catch up with us. We were hoping that would be the case. Really looking forward to tomorrow afternoon.
Want to ask Dylan one more thing.
All right.
You know, I thought the way the team has stood behind Chris Moore all season has been really, really cool. I think people who, not to make this like, oh, insiders who know, or not, but I think people who pay attention can see even when Chris doesn't have a huge impact on the box score, he's making, you know, the plays that
impact on the game.
Yeah,
on,
there are teams that don't have a Chris Moore that haven't made it this far or won't make it as far as Auburn does. And then to see it show up on the box score in Nashville, to see the shot go in and to see him producing. Talk about him as a teammate and what it means to see him producing this time of year.
Yeah, you know, Chris Moore has been our vocal leader, you know, for the past, you know, 2-3 years. But just to see his hard work really just pay off and finally kind of get to that moment where he's making shots and kind of winning games for us. It's just so sweet to see the teammate and as a brother. He deserves all the glory in the world, you know what I'm saying? So I'm proud of him for staying the course, and whenever people hated on him, whenever people were doubting him, he just put his head down and worked even harder.
Well, Auburn fans are proud of him and the entire team, and even though it may not be quite as packed as Bridgestone was this past week, you know, everybody that can't make it out to Spokane is pulling, looking forward to it tomorrow afternoon. Dylan, we really appreciate you spending a little time with us, and best of luck.
No problem. War Eagle.
All right, Dylan Cardwell joining us with we love it, a tournament Tiger takes, which is brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. Call Zach. He's got your back, or visit him at alsolaw.com.
Yeah, very cool. Special shout out to Dylan for connecting with us, and the Alsobrook Law Group for helping Tiger Takes be a thing all season long.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Man, time has flown. We've had a great time here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge here on the Thursday Drive. Coming.